Now, let's get to the Rashog Report brought to you by GS Construction. GS has their step-by-step process that they live by, ensures they have the best plan and execution of construction projects in the industry. Learn more at nextgentransportation.com. As Ryan Rashog joins us. Shog, did you get your homework done?
No.
No. I see. Strides, I told you. Well, it's funny. Just for peace, Rashog's like, hey, I haven't caught up in the Elks yet. And I just made a joke. Say, yeah, don't worry. Or you can brief us on the O-line and the defensive secondary. The reason I said the secondary is because both Daron Carter and Aaron Grimes aren't playing in game one. They're both banged up. So I'm not even sure the Elks know how good their secondary is going to be in game one.
So. Yeah, well, there's a bunch of boning up on it I got to do because obviously I've been on the road and grinding with the oil, and that'll come. For now, getting set for the Stanley Cup Final, and I'll dive in on the football club, kind of as I get back. One of the questions I have, though, as we approach the regular season for the Elks is, what's happening with Dwayne Mandrusiak these days? Are they going to get him back for year 50? Yeah, I'm interested to know what's going on there.
Well, I think if Dwayne came back, it wouldn't be in the he couldn't do the job that he did before, right?
Oh, too physically demanding. I would agree with that.
Dwayne would be the first one to say that to you because of his health right now. But I don't know if you saw they have the Joey Moss suite, right, which is honoring him.
That's amazing.
Which is great, but I would like to think. And hope that they have something planned for Mandrusiak during the season.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, I think working, 49 years for an organization, and then obviously it ends pretty unceremoniously, and now you've got a new president that's done a lot of really good repair with the community and the organization and the community, and lots of really positive things that have been happening. I think that's really good. To me, this is a big one. That's sitting out there. I think maybe it's not front of mind in the moment for fans because of the Oilers and all that kind of stuff. But something I asked Victor when he first took the job, he said that he was going to look into it. And, I'm just curious to know kind of where things are at. I think we know it's not about coming back and being the head equipment guy or anything like that, but how do you find a meaningful way to bring a core piece of the organization back for year 50 and give everyone a chance to celebrate properly, but for it to also be meaningful for him. Because if I know Dwayne, I don't think he's just going to want some token night to throw his face up on the scoreboard, let everybody cheer, and that's considered year 50. Something tells me he's not necessarily built that way either. So anyway, we'll see. We'll see if the two sides can get something done. But I think on the list of questions I have about the football club right now, that one's fairly close to the top because it's just one of those things I'm wondering about with all the good things they've been doing to repair relationships and all those sorts of things. It's been a number of months now. And so just, interested to know where things are at. So maybe we'll look into it.
Shogra, in the big picture, how high expectations should Elks have for Nick Arbuckle?
So much of it is what's around him. So much of it is weapons you give him and what you put around him. And can that make a big difference into his overall production and what you can fairly expect of him? Yeah. I mean, isn't that the way you kind of, when you think about what a quarterback might be capable of? So I don't know. I would say tempered expectations. Guys, I don't know, what's the quarterbacking situation here? Like, what's it going to be? Who's going to be playing? Who's going to be taking snaps in game 9, in game 10? Like, what's been determined and what's firm at this point? So it seems to me like there's a lot of questions. And again, not that I've dug too deep into it, but that just feels like the question and one of the questions. And that's not one you necessarily want to have heading to the season, is it?
No, well, that's one of many questions, let's be honest. The Elks, they were really bad last year. They were 3-11. Honestly, if they could get to 500 this year, that would be a massive improvement. Massive. And I think that's going to be a tough one. Like, they're taking on BC. They got a rookie quarterback basically coming in, similar situation, not that proven. So, we'll see how they fare in week one. and then kind of go from there. But, yeah, I don't really know what to expect. If I look at the history of the OC in Edmonton, I'm not holding my breath that this is going to be an electrifying offense.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like, if you'd love to give fans that, right? If you want people to come back and you want to give them a, you want to give them the feeling of, you know, they're going to be watching some exciting football. If it's not always going to be winning football, but that's not necessarily the way. I mean, it's not necessarily the way Chris Jones is built either. So, yeah. I don't know. Like, you look at what the odds are and you look at what the odds makers are saying, and it's, you know, it's looking and sounding and feeling like the expectation is going to be more of the same from last year. Maybe not quite as bad, but more of the same. And yeah, I think they probably had hoped they'd be able to turn it around faster, and maybe they will be able to. Like, Chris Jones is known for swapping guys in and out pretty fast and trying to turn things around, you know, as fast as he can. But based on everything you're reading and seeing ahead of time, you know, from the guys that are the absolute experts in the league overall, I don't know. It doesn't look like it's setting up to necessarily be great, but, you know, that's why they play the games, I guess.
Joined by Ryan Michaud, taking a look around the world of the CFL and sports in general. You know, it's funny, you guys talk about the excitement and of the game and, you know, per points up on the board. You look at the situation with Farhan Lalji, and he talked about the same thing, that in general, the league needs to add, get more exciting. And it's tough because, you know, it's hard to mandate coaches to create offense, right, to create more excitement. They're trying to win the games. So I at times I feel bad for these coaches that I don't know that their owners are telling them to do that. But, you know, winning games is what they're about. And they hope that that generates enough excitement in the local market for it.
Yeah. I mean, can you, like, can ownership or the, you know, upper management say, hey, like, make sure you play exciting football. Make sure. You got coaches that, like, feed their families by playing their version of winning football. Sometimes their version of winning football isn't necessarily exciting football. So is it good for the league if everybody played fire wagon football? Yeah. It's just not realistic. It's just not the way teams are built, and it's not the way coaches are wired. And so what you do, you hope that if you have, you know, if you play winning football, the fans will come, even if it's not necessarily the most exciting brand. It's like this balance, right, between wanting to make sure people are entertained and excited, but people also wanting to feel like they're cheering for a winner. And that's the tricky part with this sport that, you know, isn't like with hockey, it's different, right? Fans are going to be full and people are going to show up, and it's there's a certain amount you can absolutely guarantee. Not like that with this league. And so it's got to be this combination. But I think if you were to ask Chris Jones, it's just, he would take, you know, he would take 13 1-0 wins this year. If you put that out there for him, they just want results. They just want to win. And they do what they have to do to figure out the best way to do that. And if it doesn't necessarily make it the most exciting, well, that's kind of someone else's problem if you're them. So, yeah, it's tricky. And the league, you know, this sets up to potentially be a good year for them, right? It's too bad that they had kind of the bad press there for a few weeks with the labor dispute and all that. They could have done without that, but they're here. They're ready to go. And hopefully there's some really exciting games, and we have some awesome touchdowns and some skill on display and some talent, and the weather's good, and, you know, people kind of get into that groove again because it's really fun. Like, it's tons of fun when it's rocking and rolling. So we'll see. Might be a little bit of a tough go here to start for the Elks. We'll see where they land.
Well, they definitely will help themselves if they can get a win at home because, hey, you know what, you lose on the road, that's one thing. But you know what, and they open up with Saskatchewan, like their first home game is against the Riders, which will obviously be a tough test on the 18th. Now, Shocker, we got the Lightning and the Rangers tonight in the Eastern Conference Final. Do you think, like, which one of those teams do you think is better suited to defeat Colorado?
That's a great question. I would love to see both series. I don't know about you guys, but I was thinking about it the other day, and I was watching that game, and I'm like, man, I would love to see Colorado play either one of these teams. I think it'll be an excellent series. You know, I do think that Tampa, you know, their experience, their being comfortable in every situation. You know, here they were just down in a series and scrapped their way back into it, and that's not easy to do. You know, their goaltending. I mean, New York's got great goaltending too, but the other guy's done it before. I think you know, I would probably say Tampa. And if Braden Point were 100%, like if he were, then I would definitely say that. But I think Tampa, but I really want to see. I had to choose for entertainment value, though. I don't know. I may lean towards New York, too. You know, Broadway, NHL, Stanley Cup final, you know, in New York. I'm going to be there. You know, I think that would be pretty cool to be there and see that. So maybe part of me is picking New York.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting conversation because they're not quite the same team as Tampa. They play a little bit different. I don't think they've honed their tightness the way that Tampa has. And Tampa, the last couple games, I thought especially the last game, they're just kind of having their way with the Rangers, like, as far as the way they want to play, right? And they're imposing their will on them. And I think the Rangers would be interesting. Can they push back and do it at home? Now, that's a great place to play, and it'll be absolutely rocking tonight because they're two wins away from Stanley Cup final. But I think there's a difference between these two clubs.
I think there's some separation there, hey, between them.
But yeah, I think, well, the last two games, I think there has.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, you're not in trouble in a series till you lose a home game here. And it's been, you know, it's obviously been the homers. I like watching them play, though. I like their D. Like, that Fox, he's fun to watch. You know, he's such a different player. He's fun to watch. We don't necessarily get to see a lot of that, you know. They got some interesting young players. Even to have watched, you know, Lafreniere sort of make his way through the league. And as a highly touted number one overall pick, and just watching him have to find his way through and learn all about, you know, this playoff hockey and how it looks and feels and all that. There's some interesting elements on New York, and I they've got some young players that I think it's fun to watch, and they don't play perfect. They make some mistakes, you know. And Tampa is just, man, they're so good, and Victor Hedman is just so good. I mean, can you imagine watching Cale Makar and Victor Hedman toe-to-toe in a series that goes seven games for a Stanley Cup? I mean, just what a treat that would be to just watch two of the best defensemen of their generation playing here against one another. Even for that reason alone, it'd be unreal to watch.
Ryan Schock from TSN joins us. Yeah, I would agree. Schocker, one last one for you. Frank Saravalli had his trade bait board. He had Barry on there. He had Yamamoto and Puljujarvi. And then, the Klefbom LTIR contract. He has Barry ranked the highest. And I think of those three, or I guess four, but those three, if you have Yamo and Puljujarvi, is one of them going. I think Barry's the most likely to go. And I think that's the easiest trade for them to make because there'll be value out there. I'm just kind of – my question is, what do you think they would be looking for in return if you're trading Tyson Barrie?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you know, I think cap space is just really valuable, and it lets you do things you want to do, and it lets you, you know. So I think that's part of a deal involving Tyson Barrie, is that you're freeing up cap space, and the other teams know that. I think that the Oilers, in terms of top six forwards, I think that they – potentially could need a top six right shot forward to add to the mix next year. A guy with a steady game, the ability to pour in some goals, nice, steady, reliable game. So I think that's a need. I don't know if you use Barry to fill that need or not, but it's probably, if you want it to be a top six guy, it's going to be, you know, in and around that range money-wise, I would think. So I think, you know, whether that's in free agency or whether that's through a trade, to me, there's a need right there. I think they need to bring in a steady, big shutdown, but decent skating right shot defenseman that'll defend in a different way on the blue line. So I think that's a potential need there as well. And then we all know about the goaltending situation, but I don't think, you know, Barry necessarily is involved in that. So, and then we also know that they're missing some draft picks this year too, right? So if the deal is more about cap space and you want to retain some draft picks that you're missing right now, you know, you could see the organization potentially making draft picks at the center of it as well. They got a number of different options. And I think that there'd be a few teams that'd be interested in Barry. Just he's done well for them and he's still got a fair amount of game left. And I think it's all, you know, pretty reasonable, to think that they'd be able to find something out there.
Schocker, have yourself a wonderful Thursday evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, guys. Take care.
It's Ryan Schocker.